a path. He absolutely can win this thing. This is despite the fact that the mainstream media is working overtime right now, trying to convince you and me and the entire world that there's just no possible way. Yeah, I've heard that one before, right? 2016, in fact. The media, they're just so self-assured. They're so darn smug. They think this is like a fait accompli. Just look at their headlines, right? The nature of the headlines that you see when you open up your phone every day. You know, they're effectively declaring a Biden victory weeks ahead of the actual election. It's all so nauseating, really. I mean, they've completely lost their way. So I decided to do some serious investigating, and I've been speaking to a number of people on the ground that are highly familiar with this ground game in a lot of these swing states. And what I'm going to tell you is that the Democrats and the mainstream media, they are all so wrong right now. Donald Trump absolutely can still win. And it's important right now. It's important, frankly, that he does, because what happens on the international front in terms of our global position, the next 4 years are going to be really critical. And you know what else is going to be really critical? Our economy in the next 4 years. These years matter. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Trish Regan Show. I am Trish, and I've got some intel coming up on voting. Plus this Biden ink story. My gosh, this is getting really serious. And when you start to piece all this together, what you realize is that there could be some real significant conflict of interest problems here. The media, they used to be willing to report on this, right? Early on, when perhaps they hoped somebody else might actually be the Democrat nominee. Pete Buttigieg, Kamala Harris comes to mind. But now it's just Russian disinformation. Really? I mean, they're actually equating it with Pizzagate. Well, my sources have been saying from the beginning that the laptop is real. And now we have the director of national intelligence saying that the laptop is real. The text messages from Hunter Biden, the emails about the ownership structure of the company that they were working on with the Chinese energy guy, that's all real. And now you have the former business partner of Hunter Biden, who has a very real background in the military, he's coming forward. He's real. But what? The media says it's just a distraction? This is a conspiracy theory? This is Pizzagate? My new intel suggests it's anything but. So you have to stay tuned for that. You're not going to believe what I have to tell you on that front. Meanwhile, the media, let's talk about the media. They're a little bit out of sorts right now. They want to somehow convince you that there's no possible way that Donald Trump can win this thing. But they're out of sorts because some of the data out of Florida really shows that that's not the case. I'm going to start with Florida, and then we want to get into some other states here because there's definitely a path to winning here for him. In Florida right now, you have the in-person polls that have opened, and now Republicans are coming out of the woodwork. They're coming out of the woodwork to vote. You know, the Democrats, they still have a little bit of an early lead, about 387,000 of a lead in terms of the ballots that they've turned in thanks to mail-in voting. But you know what? You know what? That's down 21% from the lead that they had just 3 days ago. And I suspect a lot of states are going to be just like that, because as in-person voting opens up, a lot more Republicans are going to show up. Look, a lot of Republicans, and I get it, they don't trust the mail-in ballot system, right? They want to go there physically and make sure that their vote counts. And I don't blame them. You think about the votes that were found on the side of the road, right, in the ditch in Pennsylvania for Donald Trump. You think about the votes that were found off the side of a highway in Wisconsin. I don't blame them. They want to vote in person. They want to make sure that their vote counts. And so they will. So that's what you're seeing in Florida. Now that some of the polls have opened up, Republicans are coming out and they are voting. Meanwhile, some of the core groups that the Democrats have liked to court, right, via what I would call extremely divisive identity politics techniques, well, they're actually not showing up for Biden the way that the Democrats had hoped. It's kind of interesting, right? You think about Hispanics right now in Florida. You know, they were expecting, the Democrats were to see a whole lot more support for Joe Biden. But in fact, what you're seeing is even less than what Hillary Clinton got. I mean, a fraction of what Hillary Clinton got. And so that's pretty phenomenal. I mean, to see, and it shows you the left completely miscalculated the feeling among Hispanics right, for economic policy and even immigration policy. I mean, I think a lot of people have come here and they've kind of done it the hard way, and they've been able to see some success, and that they don't like the idea of people coming in illegally and milking the system in any way, right? Because that affects them. And they also respond to law and order. You know, the Hispanic immigrant group is not any different than any other immigrant group. And so the left has really miscalculated this one. The other thing that they've miscalculated, frankly, is African-Americans. You've got a new Rasmussen poll out, wow, showing an approval rate of 47% among Black Americans. That's the highest that the president has seen. And, you know, I should point out, doesn't gel with some of the other polls out there. But, if I were the left, I'd be pretty nervous seeing that he's now got a 47% approval rate among Black Americans. Meanwhile, turnout right now among Black Americans, at least in Florida, is looking quite weak. So what really is going on? Maybe actually people are responding to a better economic environment. Think about the Gallup poll, right? I don't think this stuff should be broken down by identity politics, and this particular group feels this way or this group feels that way. I think something like the economy is pretty universal, right? And so you have the Gallup poll, which showed the majority of Americans feel that they are better off now than they were 4 years ago. And this is with coronavirus and everything. This is with an economy that's shut down and everything, and people feel like they're better off now. It's really incredible. And so the Democrats, they haven't really factored all this in, and they've got a candidate who hasn't been out there campaigning as much as he should, frankly, calling a lid, as they say, quite often in his campaign. Maybe his age is showing just a little bit there. Anyway, let's go through some of these other states, because this data is very interesting as we're starting to see it right now. You've had record numbers of people, right, that are doing the mail-in voting thing, and that's been really impressive. I mean, just, you know, skyrocketing the percentage increase among so many Americans, left and right, that are filling out these mail-in ballots. But in Wisconsin, you've actually got 42% of the ballots that have thus far been returned coming from Republicans versus 38% from Democrats. So that's interesting. In Georgia, where somehow I think the Democrats are kind of delusional, they're thinking they're going to pull off a win somehow there, you've got 49% of the early ballots that are coming in right now. They're from Republicans, compared with 44% from the Democrats. Okay, so you see the trend in Texas. Wow, 53% of early ballots mailed have all come from Republicans. And in Michigan, where 3.1 million mail-in ballots were requested, well, what you're seeing is right now a 2-point lead with Republicans for the number of ballots that are being returned. So it's incredible in that, yes, we are seeing a lot of people mail in ballots, but in a lot of these swing states, Republicans actually have a lead right now in terms of the number of ballots that are being turned in. And then if you couple that with what we're expecting to see in terms of a turnout, right, on actual election day, then I think, you know, in many cases here, you're looking at the Republicans having a pretty sizable advantage. He needs to get Florida. He really needs Florida. And I think he can get it. I really do. And if he can lock down North Carolina, which I think he can do, that'd be a biggie. Arizona is indicating that there's some improvement there. Increasingly, Senator McSally is looking a little better in the polls. So that bodes well, certainly for him against Mark Kelly. Arizona, important. As I said, Ohio, he really needs Ohio, and he needs to get Michigan. Look, one thing that no one is really accounting for here, and it's a pretty important thing, and really there's only one pollster that's been looking at it, and that's what you call the hidden vote, right? The shy Trump voter. Look, you get a phone call from a pollster, you think you're actually going to tell this pollster what you're really thinking? No, because we're living in an environment where, my gosh, if you just wear a red hat, right? If you wear a red sports hat, frankly, you're in trouble. I mean, you can't put up a Trump sign in your driveway. And this is something that's really been throughout the country. I mean, there's certain pockets, right, that are more conservative and it's okay. But in a lot of places, including I just spoke with someone down in North Carolina who comes from a very conservative background. And this person said to me, gosh, you know, if I can't come out and say that I'm a Trump supporter, how many others are like that? And so you have this undercounted hidden voter that people aren't paying attention to. The other thing that you have out there is what they call low propensity voters. In other words, people that don't often vote in elections, or maybe have only voted once or twice in a 2 year, or forgive me, in a 20 year time span. So they're not being counted. They're not being looked at. And the Trump campaign, I'll tell you, they've done a fantastic job at these rallies of getting people signed up and getting new voters to come in. So none of this is being properly accounted for. And you'd think that the pollsters would have learned their lesson after 2016, but, you know, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. And these pollsters have been doing it one way for decades. And, 2016 proved that the old way doesn't work anymore, but yet they really haven't changed. And so you've got the hidden voter, you've got the low propensity voter, and you've got a lot of people really that I think are going to come forward on election day. Okay, coming up next, the new intel that's actually even a little bit old, but it's new and nobody's talking about it, that America needs to hear on Biden Inc. I've got it. NBC News has a new piece out online comparing the reporting on Hunter Biden to none other than Pizzagate, and accusing those that happen to report on Biden Inc. of somehow feeding a conspiracy theory. Look, I'm not feeding any conspiracy theory. Let's be very clear. This is all information that has come forward. And you know what? A lot of this information has previously come forward, but it's being buried now, completely buried, as big tech and big media try to suppress this story. Well, by the way, that's becoming a big part of the story, right? You got two stories now. You got Biden Inc., and you've got the media and big tech suppression of the Biden Inc. story. But get a load of this. You know, there was a time when media did actually report on things like Biden Inc., including the mainstream media. I want to take you to a little piece in Politico dated August 2nd, 2019, which happens to be titled Biden Inc. Good luck trying to find it online, by the way. It's there if you keep searching and searching and searching, as I did. But it's been buried, of course, by all the recent stories in places like the New York Times and NBC News and Washington Post, all the recent stories that are condemning any kind of reporting on this. Again, NBC making the equivalency with Pizzagate. But let me share with you some of this Politico reporting. It was written by a reporter named Ben Schreckinger, who's identified as a reporter for Politico. I mentioned that because he's not, you know, an opinion columnist, but is being identified as a straight reporter. And in this piece, he writes, quote, "The day the Bidens took over Paradigm Global Advisors was a memorable one." That is how he starts. Paradigm Global Advisors was a hedge fund. He goes on, "In the late summer of 2006, Joe Biden's son Hunter and Joe's youngest brother James purchased the firm. On their first day on the job, they showed up with Joe's other son, Beau, and two large men, and ordered the hedge fund's chief of compliance to fire its president." This is according to a Paradigm executive who was present. "After the firing, the two large men escorted the fund's president out of the firm's Midtown Manhattan office, and James Biden laid out a vision for the fund's future. Quote, don't worry about investors, he said, according to the executive. He spoke on the condition of anonymity, citing a fear of retaliation. We've got all people all around the world who want to invest in Joe Biden." Wow. At the time, the senator, Senator Biden, was just months away from both assuming the chairmanship, he writes, of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and launching his second presidential bid. According to the executive, James Biden, that's the brother, made it clear he viewed the fund as a way to take money from rich foreigners who could not legally give money to his older brother or his campaign account. Now, there's a quote here from James Biden saying, "We've got investors lined up with 747s filled with cash ready to invest in this company." This is per the executive who was part of this meeting, and he remembers James Biden saying this. Meanwhile, you've got three former executives from Paradigm also telling Politico that James and Hunter Biden sought to capitalize on Joe's strong ties to labor unions in hopes of landing some investments from them. In other words, the labor unions would invest their pension funds, right, with the firm. That was the idea. And documents submitted as part of the legal dispute over Paradigm's acquisition showed James Biden did plan to solicit investments for the fund from union pension funds. However, a spokesperson from the campaign apparently told Politico that James and Hunter ultimately did not end up marketing the fund paradigm to unions. And it goes on. I mean, it talks about how basically his son and his brother have a lengthy track record of making or seeking deals that cash in on the family name. Wow. And it also says in the early 2000s, before working with his uncle, Hunter Biden opened a lobbying practice that overlapped with his dad's committee assignments and legislative priorities. Huh? I mean, shouldn't there be like some kind of rule against that? Right? Isn't that like a church and state thing? I mean, your dad's in the Senate and you're actually running a lobbying practice to help his committee assignments and legislative priorities along, and you're collecting money for that? That's a little messed up, right? And then you think about that text that was found on the alleged computer, right? The alleged text, I should say, because Hunter Biden has not confirmed any of this, nor has Joe Biden. They're just saying it's a smear campaign. But there's this alleged text from Joe Biden to his, from Hunter Biden to his daughter, talking about how Pop, you know, he said, unlike Pop, I'm not going to take 50% of everything. So now you got to wonder. I mean, this is all pretty ugly. And there's questions that need to be answered. Why the heck didn't he have any firewalls in place so that his son is not working as a lobbyist, right? Given that he's in the Senate. Or maybe that's just fine by them. I'm sorry. I wouldn't be so comfortable with that. And I get you can't control your children. You can't control your brother. But you ought to be a little bit more aware. And you should have had a little bit more guidance there for him. Now, the mainstream media will no longer cover this, right? Even though this was a mainstream media piece. But you know, I am not afraid to. I'm not afraid to. And it's important that we do, because Americans need to know the truth here. In other words, America's not for sale. You know, and by the way, I'm the first to tell you, I am a full, you know, red-blooded American capitalist. But you know what? When it comes to politics, you can't be selling political influence. Your family cannot be selling political influence. There's something extremely unseemly about all of that. And, you know, I would just say it should be illegal. You cannot have family members that are working as lobbyists while you're a politician, period. Anyway, we're going to continue this story. I have more details that I want to share with you tomorrow. So make sure you download the podcast, you sign up, you tell your friends. Trish Regan's back. She's not going anywhere because she is committed. Committed, I am, to the truth. Good to have you here.